ask not.
The Beatles.
Circuses on the air.
And the president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you, Mr. Dave Schwann. Let's kick off our history segment today with the late Jim Nabors, the man who sang the theme to the Indianapolis 500 for decades, which is celebrating its 108th anniversary this year. Let's take a listen.
Home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see the gleaming candlelight still burning bright through the sycamores for me, the new mown hay.
The first running of the Indianapolis 500. Indiana businessmen Carl Fisher, James Allison, Arthur Newby, and Frank Wheeler pooled their resources to build the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 1909, opening it in 1911. A couple of fun facts here. Yankee Stadium, Churchill Downs, the Rose Bowl, the Roman Coliseum, and Vatican City can all fit inside the Indianapolis 500 Speedway.
It is a very, very large space.
Yeah, and then the Speedway is the world's largest with 250,000 seats, and if they laid the seat boards in the grandstands end-to-end, they would stretch 99.5 miles.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. And last one, 1924, A.W. Caney of Chicago's WGN Radio. He worked for on-air on WGN, A.W. Caney, put the Indy 500 on the airwaves for the first time with live reports from the Speedway in 1924.
Boy, they did so much in 1924. You know what else WGN did in 24?
What's that?
The John Scopes trial.
Oh, that's right. That
so
happened later in the year.
Talk about trailblazing broadcasting.
Yeah, he was right here.
And
like on the show.
Hi, Roger. I didn't know you went.
He's hanging down here. There you go.
Okay.
1922, the Lincoln Memorial was dedicated. You know, obviously, those are trips you've made many, many times, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, the one in D.C.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's this great picture of Lincoln's son, Robert, his only surviving son into adulthood, with the members of the committee that put that together. I think he died a year or two later, but that's an amazing
thing. Think about that his son was present for that.
Yeah, his son. Yeah, and his own, and as I say, the only one of Lincoln's four sons that lived into adulthood.
Wow. 1922, also, Cubs swap Max Flack for the Cardinals' Cliff Heathcote during the middle of a doubleheader, and therefore both played for both teams in
the same day.
Isn't that great? 1957, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences was established, leading to the creation of the Grammy Awards. 1958, on the third date of his English tour, Jerry Lee Lewis is booed off stage, having 2 days previously revealed that he was married to his 14-year-old cousin, Myra Lee Brown. You know, he's still performing.
Yeah, he's still out there.
But that was quite a scandal.
Mm-hmm.
It would be quite a scandal today. He'd be in jail, actually, today.
I think he would be, yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a movie on this?
Yeah.
Great Balls of Fire?
But 14 years old and his cousin. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a first cousin.
Yeah, was he a first? He was a first cousin?
I'm not sure. I think it was like not a first, maybe second or third, but still.
Well, still, my
14 years old?
Yep.
Hello.
1959, Santa's Village in West Dundee opens. Of course, it's still open, and we're going to have Jason on the show in early June because it's still as fabulous as ever. 1961, President Kennedy announced his goal to reach the moon. Let's take a listen.
Since early in my term, our efforts in space have been under review. With the advice of the Vice President, who is Chairman of the National Space Council, we have examined where we are strong and where we are not, where we may succeed and where we may not. Now it is time to take longer strides, time for a great new American enterprise, time for this nation to take a clearly leading role in space achievement, which in many ways may hold the key to our future on Earth.
1967, Robert Evel Knievel's motorcycle jump. He jumps over 15 automobiles. The over 433 broken bones he suffered during his career earned him an entry into the Guinness Book World Records as the survivor of the most broken bones in a lifetime. 433.
I got 432, so I missed it by one.
Miss it by one.
Yeah, right.
You know what that inspired to me? That inspired the Fonzie jumping over all the barrels.
Yeah.
You know? Let's take a little listen to this groundbreaking moment.
Before we get back to racing, I'd like to introduce to you a most unusual young man. This is Evel Knievel, and his specialty in sports is to take a motorcycle up over a ramp and leap through the air some 90 feet. That's what he's going to try to do today, over 15 automobiles. Now, have you ever done 15 before, Evel?
Bill, I never have. I missed a jump up in the northwestern part of the United States over 13, and I was hospitalized and laid up for nearly 5 months, and I sure hope that doesn't happen today.
Wow, how many cars were you attempting at that time?
13.
13, and you missed it?
That's right.
You're trying 15 today?
Well, the parachute's ready, the motorcycle's ready, and I'm ready, and I'm not going to miss today.
That's very cool. That's the legendary Evel Knievel. 1977, the original Star Wars movie is released. Can you believe that? This is a 40th anniversary today, yeah. Dave.
Is it 40 years? That's right. It would be. Yeah. Right. 1977.
Where did you see it? Do you remember?
I saw it. It's funny you should say that because my cousin, who I will be having dinner with later today, and I went to see that movie. She was visiting here. She wasn't living around here yet. And we went to see it at the River Oaks Shopping Center in Calumet City.
There you go.
We saw it.
They had a nice theater there at the time.
I bet they did.
They did.
Roger?
Eastland Mall. I believe it was the Eastland Mall in Las Vegas with Bridget.
In Vegas. Oh, because you were living out there
right,
at the time.
And we were waiting in a long line inside the mall.
I went with my grandfather and it might have been my sister, but I think it was just my grandfather. And we went to Gulf Mill.
Oh, yeah.
Gulf Mill Theater. And then I ended up seeing again that summer at the drive-in at by Pelwaukee Airport, the Twin on Milwaukee Avenue. Yeah. All right, here's another classic. In 1977, the Brady Bunch Variety Hour aired its last episode. Let's take a listen.
I'm Mike Brady. I'm the husband and the father and that sort of thing. Look, what I really am is an architect. And my family wanted this variety show. You know, it was their idea. I didn't want to do it. But, I love my family. So now, I'm an entertaining architect.
He's dying.
Oh, why can't I be dead? Yeah, why can't Jan be dead?
Would you just forget about Jan? Dad's the one who's dying.
Honey, I told you I didn't want to do this.
I know, it's going to be all
right. It's not like rehearsing in the kitchen, honey.
I know, but just wait.
It is like watching a car crash if you watch these online.
Just saying. How did it last so long?
It was only a summer, and I remember when they'd open these episodes that they would have like these swimmers come out and swim in a pool. I mean, it was horrible. They didn't rebuild the original sets. It was just corny and stupid, and it just didn't make it one of the incarnations here. On a more serious note, and I remember this as a kid because I was only about 11 or 12 years old, 1979, American Airlines DC-10 crashes on takeoff from Chicago, killing 273, including two on the ground. Do you remember covering this, guys?
I was working in Hammond at the time. Yes, okay. Indeed. And we got word it was late Friday afternoon that that went down. And we had a reporter at the time who was a stringer who made it up here and was giving us somewhere found back then, 1979, no cell phone. So he found a payphone somewhere and was able to phone in some reports. That was terrible. Catastrophic.
I remember our priests showing up down there to help and help find bodies or bless them or do whatever, last rites, mm-hmm. and whatnot. Were you here? Were you?
I was at 720 KDWN in Las Vegas, news director there, when this happened. And so I was reporting on it there using AP and UPI.
This might be WLS. I'm not quite sure, but it is WLS. Let's take a listen.
Right now, Flight 191, American Airlines, is just smoldering ruins. Rescue crews are seemingly unable to get very close to that wreckage. It departed O'Hare Field around 3:15 today. We still know nothing about why the plane crashed. We do know that it lost an engine, but of course that normally doesn't mean that the plane will crash.
That was somewhere on Tui, I think, over by Barnaby's, the pizza place.
And it went into, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, it went into a mobile home park.
Was it Oasis, which used to be a drive-in?
Somewhere around there, yes. I know it landed
or maybe
in a field,
the engine went into a mobile home park.
The engine did. Yeah, I think the plane itself actually landed onto a field, is what happened.
Horrible.
One other thing I remember is that one of our other reporters at the station I was at, WJOB, got a hold of someone who was supposed to be on that flight from our area got a hold of the lady and interviewed her on the phone. And she was just very, very shaken by the whole thing.
Always those people, you know, happened in 9/11, too. I was supposed to be aware.
9/11,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, you hear those stories all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty tragic.
Yep.
2004, the World War II Memorial, dedicated in Washington, as you both just mentioned, honors the 16 million and the more than 400,000 that died. So that was 2004. 2011, Oprah airs her last show, ending her 25-year run of the Oprah Winfrey Show when she started hosting in 1983 on WLS-TV's AM Chicago, and the rest is history. Let's take a little lesson.
Every single day I came down on our Harpo elevator, I would offer a prayer of gratitude for the delight and the privilege of doing this show. Gratitude is the single greatest treasure I will take with me from this experience, the opportunity to have done this work. To be embraced by all of you who watched is one of the greatest honors any human being could have. I've been asked many times during this farewell season, is ending the show bittersweet? Well, I say all sweet.